Welcome to this gathering of our Bridge family as we've come together to worship our Lord and, I pray, grow in Christ's likeness. Now, with that understood, before we pray, you see, I've brought some friends with me that are going to pray us into this message. And I've brought another friend with me from far away who's going to help to unpack this message. But before we begin, I want to ask you a question, like I often do, but this time, the question is not my question, it's God's question. You see, we're continuing in our series entitled Perspective, where we're walking through Psalm 119, verse by verse, stanza by stanza, and today we find ourselves going into the second stanza, which will cover verse 9 through 16. And it's in Psalm 119, verse 9, where we're given today's question. Again, not my question, but God's question. How can a young man keep his way pure? Do you hear that? How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, let me just elaborate here a little bit. How can an old man keep his way pure? Or how can any person keep their way pure? Well, praise God, he answers his own question in the second half of verse 9. And today's message, I pray you will see, is going to exemplify that answer. You're going to see that the answer applies not only to the individual Christian, which it does, but it also applies to the biblical church. And I pray, again, that you will see that the answer is exemplified in today's message. Now, next week, we'll come back and I'm going to explain the answer a little bit more. We'll go into greater detail. But today, in the spirit of showing and telling, of touching the heart, as a way of teaching the heart, I pray that today you will see that this message will exemplify the answer which God says that the way a young man is to keep his way pure is by guarding it according to God's word. Guarding our way according to God's word, God's will, and God's ways. That's how you keep your life pure, your way, your everything pure. Now, let me take you back 8 years and let me show you how God has been at work. You see, this message is going to connect the last few weeks and the last 8 years, all to exemplify God's gospel, God's grace, and God's glory. Let me show you what I mean.
Before we begin, I'd like to have a special opening prayer this morning. And I'd like you to embrace some help. Matthew?
Father God, thank you so much for all that you do, but especially for this message, Lord, because this is where you fill in the gaps, Lord. This is a time when in our church body that you have us right now, where we look inward at ourselves and how to serve you the most, Lord. And to really understand fully what you have us do, and personally, regionally, and around the world, Lord, we pray that the distractions go away, and that we saturate what's been being revealed to us through Pastor Jeff and the message that you've given him to give us today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to be with you this day and worship. Thank you for surrounding us with people and having a plan that we can follow, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Well, I want to welcome you again to God at Work. I am so thankful that we are a family and that a family does not separate based on geography. I want to ask you this morning, as we come into this time, to think back. I want to ask you two questions. I want to ask you a childhood question, and I want to ask you an adult question, both pointing at the same thing. Childhood question first. Think back. What was your favorite game to play as a kid? When you were growing up, Maybe you're like me. We didn't have a whole lot. When I was very young, we were dirt poor. If you had to buy it, I didn't have it. So we played the kind of games that you didn't with your imagination. You would do outside. Anybody remember playing Simon Says? That was my favorite. Right? You know, pat your head, tap your stomach, one foot, whatever. Anybody remember what the gist of that game was? How's that flow? You do what Simon says, right? So whoever is Simon, whoever is the leader, determines what gets done. And it could get crazy sometimes, right? I mean, crazy like move to St. Johnsbury, Vermont. Oh no, I'm getting ahead of myself. No, it could be like rub your head and pat your stomach kind of crazy. But whatever Simon said, you did, right? Or, because you don't have to play, you just say, I don't want to play anymore. Or you lose. But that's the gist of the game, right? Well, let me jump ahead now to grown-up land. Anybody ever built anything? In all of our moves, when we used to move corporately, we only built one house. But we did build a house. And let me tell you something that I learned, is the blueprints matter. Anybody ever been a part of something that was being built that didn't end up being built to code? Anybody experienced the wrath of the inspector when it doesn't matter how much you've put in or how high it's gone up? What happens if you did not build to code? We're back to Simon Says, right? I'm sorry, ma'am, sir, that's got to come down. That has to be built to code, right? Yeah, but you don't understand. No, it does not matter. It must be built to code. Well, I've entitled our message this morning, Are You Building to Code? Are you following what the Savior, not Simon, what the Savior says? And you'll see as we continue now walking through the Gospel of John, and this morning picking up right where we left off, John chapter 20. And if you remember, I said to you last week, if you were here, very few people have ever walked slowly through, intentionally through, for prayerful impact through John 20. And yet it is arguably one of the most theologically important chapters in all of the Scriptures. Well, I want to continue our slow walk. If you remember last week, our focus was on seeing Christ through the prism and the perspective of Mary Magdalene, and to see ourselves in her witness. And we said, oh, wow, what an unlikely witness. And we embraced the fact that if we are truly Christian, not churchgoers, truly biblical Christians, then every single one of us must stand up, get to the front of the line and said, wow, am I an unlikely witness? If it were not for the grace of God reaching down into the pit that was my life and pulling me up, I would have no business proclaiming his grace. I was blind, but now I see. Well, if last week we saw through Mary Magdalene the perspective of what it was to be ourselves an unlikely witness, this morning I want us to focus on what do we do as that witness. And as we have done all the way through this series and from the beginning of this church, we will let God tell us what the answer is to that question. We will let God's word give us the definitions that we will hold to, because I am absolutely committed to build to code. And my prayer is that you will be absolutely committed to building to code, because everything else will end up in an eternal hell. Please, 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 as we begin, ask the Lord to prepare your heart, because I have no doubt that there's going to be some challenge here as we continue to bring our traditions and our religion under the authority of God's word. Let me just tell you up front, the three verses that we have today speak so powerfully to every one of us. The question is, what are we going to do with this? We saw a couple of weeks ago, oh, tons of people hear God. They just don't want to listen. My prayer is that we will not only hear, but that we will listen and that we will walk together. Now, in verse 19, where we will pick up, we left with Mary Magdalene going and telling the disciples what she had seen in the risen Christ. And we noted Jesus told her to go tell, as he tells you and me, go tell. And she obeyed. Verse 19 picks up and says, now later that evening, and we'll get to that in just a second, but before we do, for only the second time in this series, I want to step outside of John's gospel, and I want to bring you one of the perspectives from the other gospels, because in this case, it's going to help you and me understand the how. If you go to Luke's gospel, between the early morning of Mary Magdalene seeing Jesus and what we'll get to in verse 19 in a minute, later that evening, Jesus comes to the disciples in what is probably the upper room. Luke's gospel tells us that Jesus met two more of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I'll tell you, my intention originally was to show you a 30-minute video that depicts that walk. And I will send it to you tomorrow morning as a part of the sermon clips. And I highly encourage you to watch it. It's a wonderful reenactment of what most likely took place, and it will help you if you'll watch it. It's a great investment of 28 or 29 minutes. But here's the thing. On that walk, where now it's the daytime, so in the morning Jesus was with Mary Magdalene, and in the evening we're about to meet him with the disciples in the upper room, but Luke tells us that during the day, Jesus comes up on two of the disciples as they're walking to Emmaus. And we get a very long account in Luke's gospel of that walk. I want to just give you a couple of the highlights of it, and again, encourage you to go back and spend time with God in his word here. On this walk, Jesus comes and they don't get it. Just like Mary Magdalene initially did not get it. They saw him, but didn't see him. They heard him, but couldn't hear him. I again ask you, can you relate to either times in your past or maybe right now where God is speaking and he's right in front of you? But for whatever reason, whatever sin du jour, whether it's fear or anger or pride or bitterness, whatever it is, might he be speaking to you and you're not listening? Might he be right in front of you doing the most beautiful work and yet you don't see him? This is what we see here again on the road. Now, it gets a little intense because on this walk, Jesus is somewhat coy with them, and they're talking about him and all that had taken place. And it's pretty interesting because when Jesus said, what are you talking about? Who are you speaking of? Remember he asked Mary Magdalene, whom do you seek? Here he says, who are you talking about? Who's on your lips? What's the topic of your conversation? And they basically are saying, it's you, without knowing it's him. And when he continues to be somewhat coy, they said to him, are you the only one in all of Jerusalem that doesn't know what's been going on? The context there is to tell you and me, Christ was a big deal. Okay, there was a movement that tried to minimize him, tried to say he wasn't, and oh yeah, this isn't really true. Just like today. Just like today. How many of us are familiar with those that would try to minimize Christ, minimize the authority of God's word, minimize the role of the church, minimize what it is to be Christ's? I tell you that that is an epidemic, and it's inside the church, not just outside the church. Well, here's what happens. Jesus gets to the point where he looks at these disciples because they're not getting it. They're saying, oh yeah, we had some women come back from the tomb, said he was gone, that it was empty. We heard this stuff, but we're not buying it. And Jesus says to them, and I want to quote him, oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe. Oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe. I say to you as an under-shepherd, as a missionary, as one with a prophetic call on my life that is also apostolic, that I see so many foolish men whose hearts are slow to believe. Jesus admonishes them because he says, All of what you have seen, all of what has happened was foretold. This is exactly what you should have been expecting. This is exactly what you should want to be. This should excite you. Look, it's the fulfillment that all of the prophets and all of the scriptures have been foretelling and pointing to. And here I am in your midst, and you're bummed out. Scripture says they stood and looked sad. They didn't like it. They didn't get it. And friends, I tell you, we stand in a time and a place where there's a lot of people that don't like it because they don't get it. I pray you'll see before we're done, we are building to code here. We are building to code. You say, Pastor Jeff, can you put that into context? I would love to. Let's go to John chapter 20. Now the evening, okay? Morning, he's with Mary Magdalene. Go tell. Daytime, he's with two of the disciples. Oh, you foolish men whose hearts are slow to believe. You should have not only wanted this, you should have expected this. Now verse 19, back in John's gospel. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut or locked where the disciples were, they were there for fear of the Jews. Again, these boys don't get it. They're hiding. They're not celebrating a risen king. They're hiding for fear that they too are going to be killed because they were followers of Christ. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you, brothers and sisters." I quote Jesus as I speak to you, brothers and sisters, "Peace be with you." Now, some would be quick to say that was a common greeting in their day, and it was. But Jesus is doing a lot more than a common greeting here. You see, this is the risen, resurrected Lord who knows that his boys are running around like little girls, hiding, scared like sheep. And he's coming in and he's saying, "I am the I am. I have done as I told you I would do. I am here. Be at peace." Friends, I ask you, do you have peace? Do you have the peace that only Jesus the Christ can give? I pray that you do. I tell you this, if you're not adopted by his grace, you cannot. So if you think you do and you're not yet a biblical believer, I pray that he'll give you a cold bucket of water and wake you up to say, no, you can't. What you have at best is a placebo, but you don't have peace unless it's his peace. But then I say, in the same vein, I want to come to you if you're a brother or sister in Christ and maybe the world's got you down. Maybe you're feeling the weight of despair, weight of the battle. I want you to know, listen, you have a peace that passes all understanding that no one and nothing can take away. Now, you can give it away. You can lay it aside, or you can make choices that are going to squench your lifeline like a garden hose. You can kink the hose, but nobody can take it away. I want to ask you this, and it ties into something I asked you 2 weeks ago. What do you do with this peace? I titled the message a couple of weeks ago, "Give It Away." Give it away. And here's one of the things of what it is to be Christ, to build to the code as a Christian and as a church. You give it away. Say, how so? And can you give that to me in Scripture? Yes, I can. And it's through Luke chapter 10. And this is where you see, as Michael and Duran were talking about going up to Vermont, as our church expands and fulfills the Great Commission, it's to seek out those persons of peace. Luke 10 is where Jesus says, "I sent you out as sheep amongst wolves." And here's your mission. Here's your strategy. You go ahead of where I'm going and you seek out those persons of peace. You will know, because as you come to their home, you give your peace to them. And if a person of peace is there, it will rest on them. You will feel a mutual sense of the Spirit of God's presence. You will have an inner knowing that doesn't come with a neon sign, but it comes with a spiritual sense. So you see, you've got to have the Spirit in you if you're going to be able to have a spiritual sense. And where the Spirit is at work, he will affirm. This is the person of peace. You and I are to go and not try to build some carnival or some professionally polished program center where people will come for their consumeristic, humanistic wants. We're to go out as ambassadors of Christ and carry the gospel and to lead with the Spirit's sense in our lives and say, are you interested in what Jesus is doing? Can I talk to you a little bit about the gospel? Can I share the good news of Jesus with you? And now look, we understand. The vast majority are going to say, no, I'm not interested. Don't want it. In fact, here, let me hit you with a stick. Right? Expect that. Stop trying to figure out a way to make blind people see. Stop trying to figure out a way to make something that is sour to a lost soul taste sweet. It doesn't work. When you do get a response and it's not from the Spirit of God, you end up with false converts. You end up with religious crowds. You end up with something that may get very large but is not built to code, and it will come down. It will. Per God and His Word. And it may not be in your time or my time, may not be in our lifetime, but it will be when it comes time to meet our Maker. If this is not built to code through the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's going to come down. You and I are to go and seek out the persons of peace. What do we do with the peace that Jesus gave us? We thank Him for the blessing, and then we do our best to give it away. This is the essence of the Great Commission. Now, when you go to verse 20, this to me again gets very personal, and I pray it will bless you. When He said this, He, Jesus, showed them His hands and His side, nail-pierced hands, spear-injected side. When He said this to His disciples, peace, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad, and they saw the Lord. Oh, you really are the one who was nailed on the cross and speared in the side. We believe. We believe. Friends, I want you to know that if you are a biblical Christian, think about this. Again, building to code, He didn't save you to put you in some kind of a cocoon, like you're a fire extinguisher under glass, you know, break in case of emergency. No, He saved you to use you. He wants to pour you out. You see, to see Jesus show His hands and His side, in our day, you are His hands and His side, Christian. The Church of Jesus Christ is His hands and His side. We are the salt and the light of the world. We're not a church cocoon. We're not insulated. We're not protecting. We're not about us. We're about Him. We're not about in. We're about out. You're to be the light of the world. Building to code is about getting over yourself and getting out in a surrendered, poured out state to the glory of God. And if you and I can show up totally empty, spent, worn out, and trampled upon, that's the way you want to go meet Jesus. That's a life lived to code. That's what He says. So when we look at these pristine, polished, program-oriented people, I don't see Jesus. And I pray to God, you don't either. Oh, I see some socialites, but I don't see the Savior. I see polish, but I don't see passion. To build the code is to be a people of passion. Sold out, surrendered, sent and spent for Jesus the Christ. Nothing else will do. Anything else is an act of denial and or disobedience. This is what we see. When Jesus shows them His hands and His side, He's saying it's real. And it's about relationship. We have a blessed life here, friends. Not because we're big or polished or anything else, right? I don't have a tremendous pedigree. I'm just one beggar helping other beggars find bread. But we have the hand of God on us. And I often describe myself and our church as a sock puppet. Oh, we might be what you see, but it's only because the hand of God is in us that what is happening is worth looking at all. It's Him, not us. We are doing our best as a local church to be a global church, an Acts 1:8 church. we embrace the call and the privilege to be not only his hands and his side, but his hands and his feet. I want to show you an example of this. I want you to meet a fellow named Moses that was met in the Kmart parking lot about a year and a half ago here on Kent Island. He lives in Uganda. There's been an ongoing, beautiful relationship established, a discipling relationship. And beginning a week from Saturday at 5 a.m. our time, Moses and I and about half a dozen of his friends are going to begin live discipling through the technology that God has empowered us to use. This church will be discipling in Uganda, Africa, a half dozen men beginning a week from Saturday at 5 a.m. so that we can be at 1 p.m. their time. This is building to code. Doesn't look fancy, doesn't show up anywhere on the scoreboard, but we're going to have brothers and sisters in heaven through the ministry that God is empowering here that will come from the grounds of Central and Southern Africa and who knows where else. Let me let Moses introduce himself to you here for just a couple of minutes.
My name is Chigozi Moses. I would like to share with you what the Lord has done to change my life. In life, everything happens for a reason. By God's will, I made friends. And through the intercession of these Christian friends, I did repent, planted faith in my heart, and changing my daily life and obeying His will. Now I see that God has a great purpose for me, and I continue to pray, ask Him to lead me where He wants me to be. I know it's not baptism ceremony that saves. I want to be a symbol of what already has occurred in my life, heart, and the life of who has trusted Him as a Savior. I thank Him for the sisters and brothers who pray for me and are always there to answer my questions. One of my hobbies is reading and learning from others. The amount of learning left to be done will keep me busy for the rest of my life and beyond. I always ask for forgiveness and accept me as one of His children who wants to be a better life. Amen.
You are the brothers and sisters that Moses is thanking for praying for him. If you're a part of our family, you have seen multiple prayer requests for Moses. I pray that you have been a part of that. This is the church being the church without walls. This is the church being the church as Acts 1:8 calls us to be, locally, regionally, and globally. Don't miss that we started in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's our regional. Don't miss that we're now actively engaged on the continent of Africa. I will tell you this, that as a church family, you know this if you're part of the Bridge, but all of God's word that we've taught since 2007 is available on our website, hisbridge.com. Everyone. All of our training, or the vast majority of our training that we've done through our individual and advanced training sessions, are available online. This is so that we can equip the world to make much of Jesus and to penetrate the nooks and the crannies. Moses will be sharing with me and Skyping from an iPad, because it will allow him to get further into the nooks and crannies of where he is. This is building to code. This is what Jesus says. Nowhere in the Bible will you see him, anywhere in the New Testament, telling his people to go out and build buildings. Nowhere will you see him go out and tell people to do programs. Nowhere will you ever see Jesus fishing with bait. He never puts anything on the hook to sweeten it to get him. He tells them the truth in love, and he tells his disciples, go tell them the truth in love. Go seek out those persons of peace in whom I'm doing a work. Know that for every one, there's probably going to be 1,000 that reject you and persecute you. But when you come across the one, pour in. This is church planting. This is the biblical way to be the church and to grow the church. And we do it locally. We do it right here on Kent Island. We're doing it right now. You are being poured into with the truth and the love of God's word in a way that I pray in some cases is going to do the deconstruction that takes down what was unhealthy and or begins the rebuilding or the initial building up to be a disciple that will go and make disciples who will make disciples. We do it now in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. You know why? Because God said so. That's why. It's not about pragmatics. It's not that we did a great demographic study, right? I come from that world. I know that stuff. You don't go to St. Johnsbury, Vermont if you're looking for the good idea. But when God says so, you don't go anywhere else. And it also fulfills the Acts 1:8 call to be the church locally, regionally, and to the ends of the earth. Let me show you why this is so critical. In verse 21, and this is the verse that I tell you we'll close with this morning, and it is one of my favorite in the Bible because it eliminates all wiggle room. You cannot call Christ your Lord and ignore this and expect there to be no consequence eternal. This is what Jesus says. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Note, repetition means emphasis. So he said, peace be with you, and now he says it again, peace be with you. I want you to have my peace. You have my peace if I'm in you. Now go and take it to the nations. Take it to your neighbor and take it to the nations and don't stop anywhere in between. Are you sure, Pastor Jeff? Well, tell me what you do with this if you think I'm wrong. As the Father has sent me, as God the Father has sent me, Jesus, God the Son, so I am sending you. Well, friends, I can't stay on the couch with that verse. I can't build a cocoon if I'm going to adhere to that verse. I can't just throw some money at a ministry if I'm going to embrace that verse. Right? I have to be. As the Father has sent me. Now, he's not talking to John like I'd be talking to Rob. Rob, I'm just talking to you. Ignore me for a second, Charlie. I'm just talking to Rob. That's not what's happening here. In every one of the accounts of the Great Commission, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to the aggregate. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Go get them, boys. Go get them, ladies. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Well, here's the thing, friends. We got to go. We've got to go. Every single one of us. Not everybody moves to Africa. Not everybody moves to Vermont. But it is a 100% participation proclamation. Everybody must be engaged in the Great Commission. The question then becomes, Lord, what do you have of me? Lord, where do I fit? Lord, where do we fit? Do you want to know why our church is going to St. Johnsbury, Vermont? Because that's where he says we go. That's what he says is our fit. And it's my prayer that somebody that is met in St. Johnsbury, Vermont is going to end up in Butte, Montana. You say, you're from St. Johnsbury, Vermont. What are you doing here in Butte, Montana? God sent me. Why'd you pick Uganda? The Lord set up an appointment and he did it. This is what it is to be the church. This is what Jesus said. As the Father has sent me, I now send you. And I just want you to ask that question of yourself personally. Do I embrace all of what that means? And I want you to get personal. I'm asking you as an under-shepherd to put your name in there. I, personally, do you hear, Michael, do you hear Jesus saying, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you, Michael? Do you hear this, David? As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you, David. Neil, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you, Neil. Right? Karen, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you, Karen. Jesse, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you, Jesse. Is it that personal? Because it needs to be. Tom, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Because that's what's going on here, right? Let me show you what this will look like. And we can't, if we had a month, we couldn't do it justice. But I'll give you just a few of the biblical aspects of what it is to be sent as Jesus was sent. Because here again, this is not about polish and programs. This is about leaving what is the most comfortable place in creation, heaven, to come down to the most dismal place, a cross, for the purpose of dying so that others may live in a supernatural way where the only God can give the reward that would make sense. And the reward is relationship with Him forever. Let me just walk you through some of the scriptures that point to how Jesus was sent that will inform how you and I are called to go. Looking at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Why? Because I want us to all be in agreement that all of the scriptures are God-breathed and they are here to teach us, to correct us, to rebuke us, and to equip us for all the works of righteousness that God will have for us. So if you have a problem with what is about to follow, look to see if it's in proper context. And if it is, then your problem is with the King, not the messenger. My prayer is that we will embrace this call to go. As the Father sent Jesus, we will embrace the call to go as Jesus now sends us, as His ambassadors, as the aroma of Christ, as His witnesses. First, we know that we're here, as Jesus was, to reveal God to man. Our purpose is to bring God glory by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who do not yet know Him or His truths. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the most famous aspect of the Great Commission. Because all power and authority have been given to me, you now go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I suggested. Oh, that I commanded. Again, no wiggle room. And Jesus says, if you freak out, don't worry. Verse 20, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll empower what I'm calling you to be. You just go, and I will be the hand in you, my sock puppet. He went and he humbled himself. Romans 8:30. We need to go holy and humble. Unwavering, unshakable in our commitment, and at the same time, holy and humble. Philippians 2:8. He came and he was obedient unto death. This is the no matter what clause. You say, well, listen, I'll do it so long as, no, take your so long as and get it out. Can't was killed at the cross. There's no compromise from the cross. Christ was sent and was obedient unto death. And that's the call for you and me. And when we say to him, listen, I'll do everything up to this point, you might as well tell him I'll do nothing at all, because he's not Lord if you can tell him no. If that's the pattern of your life, he's not your Lord. I did not come to be served, but to serve. We're not here as consumers. Christians are here to go and serve and be poured out. He said, I came to testify to the truth. You and I are here in representing him and being sent as he is sent. We're come to testify to the truth, truth and love. He said, I came to seek and save the lost. You and I have been called to go into the darkness. Again, you cannot live in a cocoon. You and I are not authorized to say, listen, if you want to come in here to the light, we might let you in if you're willing to look like us. No, light is called to go into the darkness. We don't invite darkness into the light. We as light go in and penetrate the darkness. This is what Jesus showed us. He came to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. Your life should be about fulfilling the Great Commission, bringing the gospel. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance, Mark 2:17. You and I don't go with a candy stick. We go with the gospel. And the gospel says you have no hope, brother. You have no hope, sister, unless you acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You must acknowledge that you are doomed unless you repent and seek the forgiveness that only He can give. And even if you decide in your head that's what you want, you have to acknowledge that it's not until He fills you with the miraculous Spirit and does a miracle in you that you could truly be transformed. We call them to repent. Jesus came as a light in the world, capital L, and you and I have been called to be those lights. We're a city on a hill. We don't put our light under a bushel. We're not ashamed of the gospel. It's the only way that people can be saved. You shine bright and warm, Christian. He came to show a pattern of holy living. That's 1 Peter 2:21. He is our example. If you say, well, listen, I get it to a certain extent. I mean, I'm more moral than the next person, and I'm nowhere near as bad as I used to be. Well, you might as well, because if you're not going to embrace Him as your example and the standard, then you're just playing games. And God does not play games. The gospel is not a game. Christ is our example. We are to walk as living examples. Christian, somebody ought to be able to say, you're far from perfect, but I'll tell you what, if I walk like them, I'm going to be a lot more like Jesus than I used to be. I'm actually growing in my walk with the Lord as I walk like Charlie walks. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for the relationship that it is being the church. All of this is what it is to be. This is what it is to be built to code. Jesus said that He came to reveal the Father, Matthew 11:27. You and I are here to tell the story of the gospel. We're here to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the true gospel. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, Hebrews 10:9. You and I, we no longer have an agenda. We don't have a right to have a plan. We have been bought with a price. We are literally slaves. That's what my sweatshirt means, doulos, Greek. It means slave. In your Bible, you'll probably read it say servant because people didn't have the stomach to say, no, I'm a blessed slave. I know the connotation that goes with the word, so what? The reality is I'm a blessed slave. Let me tell you about my master. This is who we are called to be. Jesus came to preach, and so do we. Luke 4:43, we must go and proclaim the gospel. You say, well, I'm no preacher. You don't have to be a preacher to preach. You have to be filled with the Spirit and know the truth of the gospel, and you share it. That's the proclamation. Jesus did it. I'm doing it right now. You can do it every day. Just take what you know and share the goodness of God and the gospel and the biblical truth. You don't have to alliterate. You don't have to do public speaking. You share the gospel. This is the local personalized preaching. Listen to Matthew 10:34-35. This is a part of Jesus that people don't like. You see, Jesus came to be a divider of men. And I'm here to tell you that if you'll be true to form and walk the faith, you will be a divider of people as well. There are moths and cockroaches when it comes to the light. Some are drawn to it and others scatter. You cannot try to manage the response to the gospel. Yours is a place to proclaim it. Jesus said, I came, and when I came and brought the word, it had an effect. Listen to what He said. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to a set of man, and set that man against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You say, well, that doesn't sound like church, but it's exactly Christ. Let me ask you, how much of your church does not sound like Christ? And I'm speaking now to the professing church world. You see, there's so many cocoons, so many Christian clubs that are not Christ's. Oh, they've built something and it's impressive to look at. The problem is it's not built to code. It's not built to code. And here's the real problem. You and I, most of us, because we don't spend time with God and His Word, we don't know His character and His ways and His truth, we're easily deceived. So many people every Sunday morning are walking into death traps. Beautiful death traps. But they don't know it because they don't know Him. And many think that they do, but they don't know Him through His Word. They only know Him through the caricatures that they've heard instead of the truth that He's spoken and given. Jesus said, I didn't come to throw a party. The party will happen at home in heaven. I came to bring truth, and truth will divide. And I'm telling you, friend, true Christians, true churches have to be willing to let the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ divide those. This is not a Rodney King mission. We are not going to sing Kumbaya and all hug. God is going to offend people with his gospel. Unless you are willing to surrender all and acknowledge that you have no place to go without him, you're going to find this offensive. And my greatest fear as a shepherd is people that find the truth offensive will go find a lie that will give them a hug. And they'll blend in these religious environments where these polished death traps will massage them all the way to hell. And I say to you, if what I'm saying rings true through the Spirit of God in your heart, then you've been called to the front lines. Being built to code is to know that you've been called to be a discipled warrior. And you've been called to be a difference maker. And you and I are like those first responders that go into the burning buildings. We go into the buildings that are collapsing. We've been called to give our lives to make much of Christ, and in so doing, risk all that some might be saved. You see, when you and I don't think so much of ourselves that we're willing to throw everything at faithful obedience with a smile and a thank you, God will use us. And if we're not, chances are he won't. And I love you enough to say, I pray to God that you'll know what life is like with God's hand on you. To go through your 50 or 100 years down here as an instrument in the hand of the master, and that you could see up close the masterpieces that he wants to make. This is the invitation of the gospel to every believer. Jesus came as a demonstration of God's love, 1 John 4:10. You and I are to be a demonstration of God's love to the world. We were in Vermont. Four of the five of your elders were in Vermont the last 2 days. And our small trailer was being pulled through town. And a local person who said, "Hey, I like that. I even wrote down your quote." You know what the quote was? It was 1 John 3:18. It wasn't a quote, it was God's word. "Let us not love with word and tongue, but in action and in truth." She said, "I like that. I like that." You and I are to be those that go out and show the love of Christ. Not by teaching people how to say agape in Greek, but by making them feel the love of the Lord because we're close. I just get around them. You know, that Deborah, every time I'm around, do you ever see her with the 3 and 4 year olds at Stepping Stone? I just feel God's love every time I'm around her. It's amazing. Jeff, I encourage every one of you to ask Jeff to take you with him as he goes into the Witchett Center. You watch my brother Jeff love on people as he pours the love of Christ that he has received out to others. You say, "Oh, I see the love of Christ in Jeff every time I see him." That's us, right? That's us. That's all of us. This is what it is to be built to code. Now, you're going to freak some people out, right? I wish I had a nickel for every person that told me how they loved Charlie and then kind of winked at me, right? Charlie's kind of special. Charlie's not kind of special. Charlie's priceless. Charlie is one of the most beautiful portraits of God in life that I have ever seen. And for everyone that would point to somebody else, "Oh yeah, boy, you know, when I see Carrie and those women, it's special." Look, we all have a calling and we all have a special giftedness. But every one of us has the Spirit of God in us if we are truly saved. And if we're just playing games and trying to put on a front and do our best in our flesh, listen, we got nothing. We got nothing to offer. But if you've got the Spirit of God in you, every one of us ought to be talked about in the same way, where there's a smile and a wink like, "Wow, yeah, that person's really special. Really special." See, that's when God's working in us and through us. This is the call. This is what it is to be built to code. I tell you again, Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's what he says. last words as he's about to ascend into heaven, the very next verse as he goes up to heaven, last words, you, Christine, who is the one that is personally encouraging and discipling and connecting with Moses in Uganda and Bob in Montpelier, Vermont, and people that she works with here. Do you see the portrait of being built to code is you, Christian, have a ministry right here at home. You, Christian, expand yourself out to the regions of our nation or our state. You, Christian, have an international ministry. I shared with you the other day. Take your testimony, put it on YouTube, make a 3-minute video. It could go all over the world. Today, we have approximately 625 visitors a day come to hisbridge.com. We're averaging over 35 countries a month. And I'm telling you, as one who does, I don't have that experience. I'm not a YouTube guy. But what we're doing is we're saying, listen, Lord, if you're going to give us access to the world, we'll take it to bring glory to you. And I'm just asking you, take your testimony, 3 minutes, put it on YouTube. Who knows what God might do with it? But do you see, now you, in as simple as being the church, can have a ministry right here. You can have a ministry that goes out into the regions, right? Pick a place, pick a people to pray for. Say, well, I'm not going to Vermont. Well, you may not be called to Vermont, but you could pray for the people of Vermont. You can be engaged in hand-to-hand combat and spiritual warfare by praying fervently for Michael and Duran and the people they're going to meet. Now you've got a ministry in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. You're all in. You're on board, right? Pray for Moses and the friends that we're going to meet. Find ways to be. Pray and obey. Lord, how would you use me? Lord, how would you pour me out? You might say, okay. You might say, I'll get to it. You might say, it's not that big a deal. I just want to bring you to the parable of the talents. Again, Jesus speaking. And he says, there were these three servants, all claiming to be on board. He says, I gave them according to their capacity. Basically, I gave one 5, I gave one 2, and I gave one 1. And I said to them, go. Most of you know the account. The one who had 5 doubled it. The master came back, said, well done. You've done much with what I gave you. I'm going to give you more. What's he giving him? He's giving him more responsibility. He's giving him more of a call to go and make much of the master's work and person. Same thing with the one that had 2, he doubled it. Well done. Here, I'll give you more. Cadillac? Easy street? No. More responsibility. More privilege to serve. More opportunity to be engaged. The one who was given 1 said, oh, I know you're a hard master. I know that you look for stuff where you didn't actually do the work. So you know what I did is I took what you gave me and I buried it. And here, I'll give it back to you. The master threw him out. Says to where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. The picture is straightforward. He goes to hell because what he was given, he did not utilize for the glory and the maximization of the master. And I say to you, Christian, what are you doing with what God has given you? To be built to code is to be poured out. To be built to code, to show up one day and meet our maker is to say, Lord, thank you, and all that you gave me, I tried to pour out, not in my own idea. I didn't come up with a bunch of good ideas. Lord, I listened to you, and I just followed you. I said, what's God have? And I did it as best I could. I messed up all the time. Thank you for your grace and for your forgiveness. I spent as much time in repentance as I did in obedience, but thank you so much, right? And he says, yeah, I knew you were a mess when I started, but I loved your heart. That's what it's about. It's about your heart. This is what it is to be built to code. And I say to you, friends, we are built to code at this church. And we will be, by God's grace, no matter what, because there is no other option if you're going to be Christ's, if you're going to truly be Christians, if you're going to truly be the church, you must say, yes, Lord, and nothing else. And when we do this together, hear me, friends, do it together in supernatural unity. This is absolutely critical. It's the crescendo, if you will. Because Jesus said that when we do it together, that's my calling card. That's what's going to show the world that I truly am Lord. Not when you get out there and do a bunch of great stuff, but when you are so close together, so supernaturally unified, as I and the Father are one, that you will be one. One horizontally and one with us. He said, then the world. See, they're not going to look at your resume. They're going to look at this relationship and say, wow, look at what they're doing. Look at how they're loving one another. John 17, verse 13 through 23. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have joy made full in themselves. This is Jesus speaking. I have given them your word. This is Jesus praying to God the Father. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, Father, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them. Jesus doesn't just say it now, resurrected. He said it in the midst of his most intimate prayer to God the Father. He prayed for you and me to be unified supernaturally as we faithfully obey and are poured out, showing the world him. As the Father has sent me, I send you, unified. Show the world this love, and I will change the world through you as my love and my gospel truth pierces hearts. Friends, I brought the quilt back again because it demonstrates that love. It demonstrates God's blueprint. All useless swatches, no rhythm, no pattern, nothing about them. Individually, they're scrap. Together, they're absolutely beautiful. Individually, not an ounce of warmth. Collectively, they could save your life. This is the picture of the church. This is what it is like to be built to code. The boundaries, there are none. The pattern, there isn't one. It's the red thread of the gospel that weaves us together as a family. This is what it is to be built to code. And to literally say, yes, Lord, no matter what. To be built to code is to be that locally, regionally, and to the ends of the earth. Without walls, without boundaries, without traditional rules, without religion and its rituals, but to simply say, yes, Lord, and to look into the scriptures, and when you see God doing something in the scriptures, to embrace it when he calls you to do it as well. And I tell you, as a local church, that's exactly what's happening right now. And I invite you to come be a part of what he's doing. And I tell you, as I preach to you this morning, that we are building to code here in Jerusalem, not just today, but every day. I tell you, as we have Michael and Duran beginning the ministry in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, that we are active in our Judea and Samaria. I've shared with you already Moses as we now go on to our second continent. A big part of what's happening on our website is coming through China. And certain cities are very active, and they are cities in which we have played a part. And I say to you, pray and ask the Lord, do you want to be a part of a club or a church? I tell you, you need to be a part of a people that are built to code and nothing less.
Amen, friends. I pray that you want to be built to code. I pray that God has given you the perspective, a deep-hearted want to be pure, that you'll be willing to guard your way according to God's word, that you'll surrender all, that you can live in the privileged place of being pure per the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice will have a passion. I thank you, Lord, that I have the privilege of serving a people who predominantly want to be pure. Lord, help us to live on your narrow way of truth and love, and give us an ever-growing passion for your purity. And teach us, Lord, equip us. Help me to be a helper, that those that have the want to will learn how and be equipped to guard their way according to your word. Lord, may it be so for all that call the bridge home, and may we bring your truth and love out to a world that desperately needs to know this privilege of purity. Thank you for your amazing grace, empowered by your gospel, that allows us to be people that bring you glory. Amen and amen.
I was actually a really strong Muslim, really strong Muslim. Then all of a sudden, everything lost its meaning. I started to look for God. I asked my mom how she would react if I said that I became Christian. And she said, I will never ever forgive you. It's such a big decision for me. Everything was amazing in my life. I mean, I was healthy. I was going to the best university. I had many beautiful, amazing friends. My family was amazing. I was dancing, acting, singing. I was doing everything. I had money. I was living such a wonderful life. But there was always something missing. I felt it when I was a Muslim. Then after becoming a Christian, I felt that I found that lost missing piece of the puzzle.
He said, come, anyone who wants must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. No matter the cost, be my heart, my hands, my voice. How are we living for Christ? How are we living for Christ? Following him we will sacrifice, but are we willing to die? God gives the strength that it takes, and he knows the price that you pay. The life you've been called to will not be in vain, so don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He said, come, anyone who wants must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. The cost be my heart, my hands, my voice. When you are shackled in chains, in prison for sharing his name, if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, don't be afraid, no, don't be afraid. Of your cross, follow me. No matter the cost, be my heart, my hands, my voice. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it.
Everything changed in my life. Even the way that I look at people changed. Now I look at them with love, with real love. 1 week after I became Christian, a friend of mine saw me and said, "There's something that happened to you and it makes your eyes brighter."
My heart is slow to follow you. Teach me to hear and understand. And I'm told the things you promise, and I hope they all come true. And I know what waits for those who wait and put their trust in you. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Plant your word down deep in me. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Please show me the way. Sometimes I stumble on my way to you. Stretch out again your healing hand. And I'm told the things you promise, and I hope they all come true. And I know what waits for those who wait and put their trust in you. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Plant your word down deep in me. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Please show me the way. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Plant your word down deep in me. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Please show me the way. Please show me the way.
In the beginning, into the dark.
darkness, the Spirit's moving upon the waters. You spoke the words, let there be light. Out of the chaos came the promise. The universe rose and applauded when you commanded the newborn sun to rise. You are the day spring. You are the morning star. Creation splendor speaks of who you are. You are salvation. You are the joy of the earth. Restoration comes, hope of the broken world. Into my weakness, into my darkness, your Spirit's moving upon my heart, and you speak the words, let there be light. Into my chaos comes your promise. The new is rising, the old is passed on. You are reviving and making all things right. You are the day spring. You are the morning star. Creation splendor speaks of who you are. You are salvation. You are the joy of the earth. Restoration comes, hope of the broken world. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. You are the day spring, you are the morning star. Creation splendor speaks of who you are. You are salvation. You are the joy of the earth. Restoration comes, hope of the broken world. Restoration comes, hope of the broken world.